Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you that we can come here to this place, that we can meet in freedom, and that we can meet in peace. God, thank you that you bring us as individuals, and you join us, and we become community. And God, thank you that you have a great purpose in us becoming part of community. This morning, God, I pray that your word would be an encouragement to us. And I pray, God, that then we would go from this word today and be an encouragement to others. And God, may we always be mindful that this is part of your perfect plan, that as we jump into your plan, we are serving your purposes. May you give us joy, and may indeed you give us courage. In your name we pray. Amen. So good morning. If you've been here, this is our third of a three-week series on courage, and today we're flipping courage to be encouragement. And I want you just to think, have you done anything brave? Have you done anything courageous in the last couple of weeks? And if you've done something brave or something courageous, where did that lead you to? What was the outcome of that act of brave or that act of courage? As a reminder, when we're thinking about the biblical narrative, and in our first week we met Moses and Gideon, and both of those people, remember, deeply, like you and I, created by God. God knows who they are. God put a call on their life, and they said back to their creator, "Hey, I don't think you've got the right person. I don't think that I'm able to do that. Maybe you should keep on looking." This is a voice that they gave back to their creator. And I think it's often the voice that we give back to God. We're like, probably not me. Don't think I'm quite ready for that. Not sure if I'm the one wired to do that. Not sure if I'll be able to make a difference. And so what we want to remember from that is God knows us. God designed us. God designed us with a purpose. And when we do acts of courage, again, we're serving God's purpose. And you're going to go into a place, and I love this song that just talks about, we're going to go out into places we don't even know yet that we're called to explore. And there God is going to meet us. There's going to be great things when we do a step of courage. And last week we talked a little bit about it. Sometimes we think that courage means we have to do something so big and so brave that we have to take a long time to prepare for that. Get everything orderly, make sure that I'm, you know, running at top speed. I've got all my skills ready and ready to do this leadership thing. But what we were reminded of is that courage really is doing that which is in front of you. So we talked about the four friends of a paralytic man. And what did they have? They had a mat. And so each of the four picked up a corner of the mat that was right in front of them. They carried this man to Jesus and he was healed. And what a difference that would have made. They did what was in front of them, and that's what we are called to do. And now today we're going to move a little bit, winding those things in to be encouragers. So what does it mean to be an encourager? First of all, courage means finding or helping others to find the courage by God's grace and strength to run the race that God has laid out before us, no matter how difficult the course. If you can imagine going through life without any word of encouragement, any word of love, any word of acknowledgement, we just wouldn't get very far. We would stop. For sure, we would stop living. I don't run a marathon, and I don't think I ever will, nor do I aspire for it. But I listen to stories about marathon runners, and it's at different points when they hear a voice from the crowd that they know, and they recognize that voice, and that voice is saying, "Keep going, you're doing great." And just by words of encouragement, when they're exhausted, something happens inside of them and they have more energy and they keep on running. That's what encouragement does, and all of us really are on a marathon. Encouragement means to give support in order to inspire with hope, courage, or confidence. So what we're doing is when we have courage to see the good, the capacity in others, we want to come up with our words of encouragement underneath them and give them the courage to go forth and do that which they're called to. I really love this picture. I've had fun looking at little superhero pictures in the last couple of weeks. And I love this picture of these arms that are the encouragement underneath and allowing this little one to feel like she is flying. And you and I both know that this kid is saying, I'm flying. Look, I'm flying. And what it is, it's those arms of strength. It's those encouragement underneath which builds that person up. So courage, I think, which is another really beautiful thing, is encouragement is a courage builder. So our role now becomes increasing someone else's courage, helping them to go further along in their journey. You and I, we have that capacity to do that by a word, by an action, by coming alongside, by joining someone, by linking arms, as it were, with someone else to keep them going. In Acts 9, we read about Saul, and Saul was, at the beginning of the story when we meet Saul, not a good guy. So he was a nasty guy, and he was out persecuting Christians, and so Christians didn't really like Saul. They were very afraid of him. And all of a sudden, one day, Saul has this incredible encounter with God, with the Holy Spirit, and he's changed. Completely changed, and he becomes a follower of Christ. So at first he was persecuting Christians, chasing them down, and now all of a sudden he becomes a follower of Christ. But as you and I might be able to understand, the other Christians and the disciples were having a really hard time believing this transformation. So how often in our life do we hear that someone has changed or they're trying to change and showing us that they're changing, but in the back of our minds we're like, there's no way this person can really change. And so we don't trust that. We don't give them room to come in. And in Acts 9, 26, we meet Barnabas, and his name actually means son of encouragement. And it says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. But Barnabas, son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And this word of encouragement about Saul to the others, it opened up the door for him to be welcomed in. And then we read that Saul's name became Paul, and Paul did an incredible work in spreading the gospel and in spreading the faith. And what we see that for Barnabas as an encourager, instead of him joining the group mentality, and the group mentality here was, we don't trust that this could change could actually happen, we don't believe it. But in our lives, it can be anything like, we join the group mentality that says, I don't really need to say a word of encouragement, I don't need to step out and say something or join someone, I don't even know who there really is around me to encourage. But Barnabas stood there with Saul, and what happened is that because of his encouragement, Paul was now accepted by the church. Imagine that your word of encouragement for someone, to someone, moves them into a place of being accepted instead of being rejected. And then we just need to think, what does that pathway look like for Paul out of that? And it's in Scripture, so we know this story is really important. And I'm sure that Paul would look back on his life and say, Barnabas's encouragement was life-changing for me. That encouragement opened a door and sparked me to go about doing good things. But Paul also had to believe who he was. And that was that step of courage. And I'm going to ask Mike Steinman to come forward. And he's going to share about going from don't know if we can do something to we can do something. And then we're going to finish talking about when we encourage someone and they step in, what the ripple impact is of that.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning. So Catherine asked Meg and I to share on our recent experience of being blessed in through encouragement. Megan's teaching Sunday school this morning, so you're just stuck with me. Back in the late fall, Catherine approached us with an opportunity for us to consider. There was a group of younger adults in the congregation who were interested in getting involved in a small group. The current young adult group was quite full already, and so Catherine saw the need for another group to form to meet some of this demand. Catherine was looking for an older couple to take leadership over this group and approached Megan and I to see if we would have interest to provide leadership over this group. Catherine explained to us that through seeing our through seeing our faith strength in marriage and leadership, she thought it would be a good fit. So these were quite encouraging words to hear. You don't always get to hear those things from other people, and that was nice to be encouraged that way. And so it basically made up for the offense that we were being called old. While we initially thought that we might decline, several reasons, such as not being sure if we were the right ones to lead a group, our skill set — I'm not a teacher, I wish I could be, but I'm not — our family schedules, fullness of life, and those sort of things, the encouragement from Catherine that she did see value in us being leaders for this group and provided comfort to us that this could be a good opportunity. So next we had to deal with the issues of kind of how this would affect our family schedule, our desire not to become too busy, etc. Through discernment with each other, we decided that this might be a better opportunity than we originally considered it to be. We both remember growing up with our parents being part of small groups, and the faith that grew in those meetings was important for us to see. So for our daughters, Naomi and Rachel, to have the opportunity to see this as well in our own home, and for us to model the importance of being in fellowship with people learning and growing together, we consider this to be a very big positive. Considering Megan and I were already somewhat involved in women and men's group, however, we often found the timing of these meetings to be less than ideal for our individual circumstances. This gave us a better opportunity to be more involved in something that we both wanted in our lives, plus the opportunity to take part in the faith-growing opportunity together and be able to work on something like this together would be also another plus. So I don't always write things down, but I'm a big analyzing pros and cons type person. So there were more and more things moving towards the pro column than we originally thought there would be. So through further conversation with Catherine, where she encouraged us to be genuine in who we are, that it would be good for these people to see houses with kids that are not always tidy, Lego sets that can be centerpieces of a coffee table, and that basically the houses don't have to be spotless. Also hearing Catherine talk about how the people she had in mind for this group would be great members and contributors, and it wouldn't be actually too difficult or awkward in leading that we're kind of worried about. So we found those things to be very encouraging. It got to the point that there were so many encouraging factors that it felt right to take this on in our lives at this point. And I must say that we've both been blessed by this. It has been great to work with Megan as we both build our faith together through preparation, and I can continue to see and appreciate things about Megan that come out in our times together in the larger group as well. It has been great to get to know new people that, in all honesty, we wouldn't have gotten to know in near the same manner as we are. It's been great to get to know these new people in a social aspect, but also understand them much more deeply as we learn together and as we support and encourage each other in growing in our faith. It's also funny that it's confirmed that we are the older couple. Many of this couples met at Connor Graber Residence just like us. They were just about a decade after us. So. This experience has encouraged us to consider new things, to really think them through and look for positives in possible situations. It was also encouragement to us as people and a couple that Catherine thought of us and saw the positives in our lives that would make this work and bless others. So I guess in closing, I'd like to encourage others to think about blessings or listening to blessings and hearing blessings from and encouragement from other people, whether it being joining a small group or something else. I don't think there's always a set way that God creates these opportunities for people, and so just be open to God's calling on what that means or how he might want this to work in your life.
Thanks, Mike. Yes, clap for Mike, because that's always brave. So as Mike shared, what I think is really important with Mike and Megan's journey is that their initial response was no. And then through encouragement, I kind of poked a little bit at that no. And what happened is they let the walls of the no down. And that's what courage means, is we let our no down and we begin to say yes. And what I think is great about Mike and Megan is that they really processed this decision. It was awesome. It was great for me to see that. And the beautiful thing is, when Mike talks about it, is the pros, which were the encouragement, and not just for me, but from each other, the pros of encouragement toppled the no. And all of a sudden now they are in a place of encouraging others. And I laughed so hard after the first week that they met, where Megan came out to me on Sunday and she's like, "Thank you so much for asking us. This is the greatest thing." But that's what encouragement does, because encouragement allows us to take another step somewhere, to do something, to be some more of who we really are created to be. And so I invite us all to be encouragers. In Hebrews 10:24, there's this wonderful verse, and it's going to be up on the slide from the Message and from the NIV. And it says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Or let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds. And what I love about these verses are it makes it really tangible. And it makes us say that we have to do this with thought and with action. That we should be constantly looking for ways, thinking of ways, be creative in ways that we can encourage other people. And I want to talk about the gathering church. You are a creative force behind encouragement. You encourage one another. I see that in small groups, in community suppers, in times where you're sharing, in times when you're leading. I am often hearing these words of encouragement, one towards another. So again, we come as individuals, we join together as communities, and we leave hopefully encouraged. I see you genuinely noticing people. And that's what's important, is that people now have a name and they have a life story and you're listening in on that. We're doing community suppers and Build a Lunch and other program opportunities where we're generously and we're consciously seeking how can we encourage people on in their lives. We're taking notice of them. We're helping them have determination. And that to me is just a blessing that you as a church are doing through the role of encouragement. What I want to look at is the outcome of encouragement. What does encouragement actually do? You would know. I often go back in my lifetime to a teacher when I was in grade 12, pulled me aside and gave me the deepest word of encouragement that this many years later, I often return to. And what that teacher said to me is, Catherine, I see something in you, and I don't believe you're living that out fully. I think the choices you are making are leading you away from who you are fully made to be. Incredible word of encouragement and redirection. And I often return to that and say, I know I want to live in the fullness of who I was created to be. So let's put up this first screen about what does encouragement do? Encouragement really makes life easier to live. That's it. One word of encouragement makes your life easier to live. And so we can be that voice that allows life to be easier for others to live. Encouragement gives us hope. It says this is not where it ends. This is not how it's going to stay. There is more to life than the right now. So this can be kind of when we're in a life pit experience, and it gives us hope to keep going, to believe that we'll get out of that pit. It also is the experience of when there's hope that we can go and do that which we're not yet doing. We're encouraged and given hope both ways. Hope lets us know that we are seen. It is so important in our society to know that someone sees you, that they're observing you, noticing you, and noticing you and seeing you enough to make a comment into your life. That we're not doing this journey alone. They say that people who have a suicidal tendency, that really it is one person in their life giving them encouragement to say, I see you, is what prevents them. It moves them away from that place of deepest desperation. Encouragement helps people move from A to B. So someone sees you at A and they say, hey, I think you'd be really good at this, or I think you could do a good work here. I think you'd be welcome in this. And so we move from A to B. Megan and Mike move from a no with lots of reasons to a yes. And encouragement helped them to get there. And man, they're going to go from C to D to E to F, and they're going to bring all those people that they're leading along with them. I love this, that encouragement is one of the most tangible ways to be Jesus to those who we come in contact with every day, so that we become the face of Jesus, we become the voice of Jesus, we become the love of Jesus. To think about that today, tomorrow, all throughout this week, that you and I get to go and be representatives of Jesus, that we make Jesus real to a person through the words that we use or the actions we use to encourage them. And courage comes from being encouraged. We get courage. Any of you who are raising little kids, you're trying to give them courage and encouragement every single day. The words of encouragement you give them the courage to go forth and be strong at the stage of development that they are in. There's a story in Luke 5 where the disciples, or they're not yet disciples, but the men have been out fishing all day long, and Jesus has hopped into their boat, and he's going out, and he's preaching to the people. And at the end of it, it says, when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deeper water and let the nets out down for a catch. And Simon answered him, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. What I love about this is Jesus' words of encouragement. Try it again is basically what he's saying. So did a miracle happen? I'm not sure. Could be a miracle of more fish. It could be just the exact right time that those nets needed to go down. But Jesus said, put them out into deep water. That's what you and I get to say to people. Put your nets out again. Go into deeper water. And because Simon Peter said, yes, I will do that, they had this sense of their nets were filled to explosion. And that's what your life and my life can look like. When we're encouraged and we go forward, what comes out of our life will be so full that it'll spill over to others. And we are therefore serving the purposes of God. Over the last couple of years, I've had the pleasure, the privilege of getting to know Miranda. And Miranda is being very, very brave. She didn't have a heart attack when she woke up this morning for public speaking. And I wanted you to hear Miranda's story of courage as a way of encouraging us as a church to keep on being a place of encouragement and also to be mindful of young people all around us where words and blessing on their lives make an incredible difference. So Miranda, please come up and share.
I'm going to start off with what encouragement means to me. Encouragement to me is the hope that someone sees in another individual. It's the act of guidance, prayer, and love. As many of you may not know about me, high school was a very difficult time for me. I struggled a lot in grade 10 and 11. In grade 11, I dropped out for half of a semester. I just could not find the urge to want to attend school anymore. It was something that I dreaded almost on a daily basis. There are a lot of reasons why I struggled, mainly feeling like there was no one who understood me or no one who wanted to take the time to try and understand. My mom, Cindy, and sister, Samantha, had been attending Build-A-Lunch on Wednesday mornings every week since the program first began. When they asked me to begin coming with them, I was skeptical about it. I was very unsure. I was stuck in this slump, and I guess you could say I was kind of depressed. So getting me out of the house for an hour or an hour and a half in the morning was important to them. At the beginning, I was doing it for them, to see them smile and to see them happy. When I had found out that someone from my school also attended Build-A-Lunch, essentially I was embarrassed until I found out who it was. Mallory helped my adjustment quite a lot. Essentially, just the act of seeing a familiar face that was there with open arms, ready to welcome and guide, that really helped me adjust to a new situation. There were days where I would literally struggle just to get out of bed. And a simple text message from Mallory was what helped me get out of bed, out the door, and joining everyone at Build-A-Lunch. I know it sounds rather foolish that a simple message helped me so much, but to me it meant I knew I didn't have to face a crowd of people alone. It was not having to be on my own when I arrived, and it was someone trying their very best to understand what exactly I was going through, and really, that is all I wanted. When I began coming to Build-A-Lunch, I was reserved and quiet. I didn't want to talk too much about who I was, because I hadn't had anyone who truly cared about what was happening for me in such a long time. I began to step outside of what I knew as my safe zone with the guidance of the members of Build-A-Lunch. I became a volunteer in such a short period of time. I think speaking for myself, having someone once a week to check in with helped me a lot. Through coming to Build-A-Lunch, I have built these incredible relationships with individuals who I could sit here all day and thank for their continuous kind words and support. With the support of people who run and volunteer at Build-A-Lunch, I began attending school again. Their encouragement led up to me receiving a reduced schedule. After a while, the support led to me attending school full days again. I'm not saying that it was an instant change or an instant growth, because it was not easy at all. There were days where I would literally just beg to drop out. And again, I was encouraged to look at the positives of just that day or just that week. In grade 12, I attended school full-time. I took on 2 night school courses. I ended up getting 12 credits in my senior year. I had my support system in my corner the whole time. On the bad days when I needed encouragement, or on the good days when I just needed a hug. I was shown a type of courage that I had never seen in myself before. I managed to work up the confidence to apply to college and ended up getting accepted to my first choice school. I not only graduated high school on time with my graduating class, which was not supposed to happen, but I did it with honors. With coming to Build a Lunch, I got the chance to build my own supports that I now consider some of the most influential people that I have in my corner. With the right encouragement, I have been able to see myself through a more confident, successful, and overall happier lens. A lens that I never thought was even possible for me to see myself through. I cannot be any more thankful and supportive of the Build a Lunch program, because not only are they building lunches, they are building lives.
Stay here. Thank you. Thanks, brave one. The last slide shows a verse from Philemon 1:7. It says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement." And in this slide, we move from hands holding up a little one who says, "I want to fly," to the hands being gone and the encouragement moving them to a place of courage to say, "I'm going to try and fly on my own." And this is a beautiful transfer that encouragement does to each one of us. Encouragement becomes first the strength, and then it's the courage to go out and do it on our own. Miranda and Mike, thank you for sharing your stories of courage. And congregation, may we each remember that our small acts of encouragement move to tremendous places in other people's lives. Let's pray this morning together, and band can come up. God, let us be mindful that your love also gives us great joy and encouragement, that you are our cheerleader, that you are an encourager. God, this morning we want to thank you for Miranda's story. We want to thank you for her bravery to stand here and give testimony. God, we thank you that you are a God that changes our direction and our pathways. And this is not about us, God. This is about you allowing us to be part of someone's story. And I pray, God, that we would be courageous encouragers, that through our encouragement, we would recognize that we may be giving someone that courage that they need to take that next step. And that next step can completely change their trajectory of life. That as we are encouragers, they find the pathway that you have created for them. God, help us to be brave, help us to be enthusiastic, help us to be creative, help us to be thoughtful in seeking out those that we can encourage and in ways that we can be encouragers. And so we thank you, God, for your encouragement. We pray, God, that each of us would take a step of courage in the days and weeks to come, knowing that you are with us, encouraging us along. Amen.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. When there still to be done in this city? Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have still to be done.